holding on Zion. I'm sorry, Ches Omer Aleph. We are holding about, what is it, 10 lines, 9 lines at the top, line of control. Okay.
We quoted a Brisa that recorded a Brisa. We quoted a Brisa that says that how do we know that the Sur Hanafidism, the goat's blood is brought into the Kurdish Hakadosh on your paper? How do we know that that is
a chaper specifically for Tumas Mikdash Hakadosh? And we went through the Mudim on that. We said, how do we know it's not Machaper on Avodah Zarah? How do we know it's not Machaper on Gilah Arayis and Tzichus Damim? We went through all of that. Then we continued in the Braisa that
it's not, because the Pasuk said that we had two different ways of learning how we know that not. We have a Yehuda's way, which was that since the Pasuk says that it's Machaper mitumos b'nei Yisrael,
mitumos is a miut, meaning only a certain kind of tumah. So it has to be only the type of tumah which we find that the Torah singles out from every other type of tumah. That's what we're going to figure out now, in what way is Tumas Mikdash HaKadosh
singled out among other types of Tumas. That was Rabbi Hoda's, and then we had Rabbi Shimon's Limud, which says, you don't even need that. The very fact that it says, the paper
Allah Kodesh, Mitumos, implies that we're talking about Tumas that involve Kodesh.
It could be Kodeshim or Mikdash.
That way, indeed, it's both Kodeshim and Mikdash, but the point is not anything else. Not of it, besides that it's not of it, it's not of Gilad Ayis, Shvichus Damim, besides which we're going to see in our Gemara, it's also not various other kinds of cases where a person might have to bring a carb.
But we're not sure that it's
completely Mikdash and Kodesh. We know it's Mikdash and Kodesh. Everybody agrees to that. That's a given. We said before how we know that you have to bring a carb and Olav Yoder for both of them.
Here we're dealing with the question, when you're not bringing a carbon Olav Yoder, the case where you can't bring one yet because you don't have Yediyah at the end, and therefore you are barred from bringing the carbon until and unless you have that Yediyah at the end, then we said the Sar Hanasibus Nim takes care of you for the time being. That's what we have to figure out, how we know that Torah, how we know that the Sar Hanasibus Nim handles that kind of case. That's what we're dealing with. So we said in the Braisa,
seven lines from the top then, one is Nibu rather.
Omar, we said in the Braisa, Yochal al Sholosh Tumas Alolo Yehei Sar Mechaper, we said you would think that maybe the Sar Bifnim is Mechaper on the three Tumas, of Avodah Zarah, Gil Arayis, or Shvichot Damim, Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk had said Mi Tumas, of the Tumas, implying the like all Tumas, implying not all the Tumas, and he said, so how do we know which Tumas it's taken care of then? Mamasinu, Shafilat HaKosim, Farkola Tumas, what do we find if the Pasuk singles out from all the other, among all the other kinds of Tumas, and applies special rules to it, that is the Tumas Mithish Vakadshah. Therefore, Afkan b'Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, since we find elsewhere the Torah singles out Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav as having special rules, then we see here also that if the Torah is telling us that a certain kind of Tumah is taken care of temporarily, at least by the Sar Hanasibus Nim, then it must be that one. So that's what we have to figure out. My hope, in what way do we see that Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav is singled out and given special rules among other from other kinds of Tumah? Are you going to say demaisi or the yurid? So you're going to say that in that case, so you're going to say that it's because tumas mikdash v'kodshav, unlike most other cases where you have to bring a korban, you bring a korban or the yurid. Most cases where you bring a korban is either you bring a fixed value chatas, as we've talked about before, or there's cases where you bring a fixed value osham. Korban or the yurid, tumas mikdash v'kodshav is one of the few cases where you bring a korban or the yurid. So you would say that word means. Since singled out from that you bring a korban olav yored for it, therefore we would say, therefore it's also singled out, and that's the one that Sar Hanasibus Nim takes care of. The problem with that is Eim Avodah Zarah.
Maybe say that rather the tumah among the three that we discussed before, but well, Gilad Ayis, Shvichus Damim, maybe the one among them that singled out is Avodah Zarah. Well, my chola, the first thing Mara interjects with a bit of a simon for the question that we're going to ask, Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah, the Avodah Zarah, I don't know why the Bechoru, it's actually going to be Nozir Tomeis, and the word Bechoru was supposed to be Tomeis. Whatever it is, those are going to be the various cases that Mara asked about. So number one, Avodah Zarah is different from most other kinds of Avodah. It might be to Irova like Tumada. Namely, when it comes to most Avodah that a person does for Shogun and they bring a carbon for, most of the time, when they bring a chatas, that is, most of the time they have a choice. They can bring a
female sheep or they can bring a female goat. Is it, if it's a commoner, that if it's a king, it has to have to be a male that will learn in her.
So a commoner is a female always, and it's either a sheep or a goat. As opposed to Avodah Zarah, specifically the Torah tells us, and has a swat, it has to be a goat and not a sheep.
Which therefore,
so and makes you win a different type or win a different type
as opposed to any other. Maybe therefore the Torah is also saying Avodah Zarah therefore also has the unique thing that the Sir Hanaf of the Fnim can be Machata for it. Amar of Kahana, Sir of Kahana says no, it doesn't work. I'm not Cholak Lahoko.
Because you know, when the Rebbe is saying that the Torah distinguishes one particular type of Tumah, you mean that it distinguishes it Lakula.
Mm-hmm.
You mean exactly what it sounds like. You make a lot. The high Cholak Lahakmi. Over here, when it comes to Avodah Zarah, it's not necessarily a Kula. It could end up being a Homer. What happens, for example, that you go looking for a female goat to buy for your carpet, and they're very expensive, the price of them has gone up relative to sheep, you're going to have to pay extra and buy a beta. Whereas if it was a regular carbon process from the other beta, you could buy the cheaper one, you could buy the sheep.
It would be more expensive.
It's not necessarily. Sometimes sheep might be more expensive than goats, sometimes not. The point is, at least with other carbonates, you have the choice. You find out which one is cheaper and you buy that. As opposed to other carbonates, you have to buy the goat even if it's more expensive.
But it's not always the cooler,
exactly. Here we're saying that we have, now what are we trying to say over here?
We're trying to say that a carbon tzibur, the sir hanaf of the fnim, which you didn't contribute any money towards it, or okay, you did through the machmas.
Exactly, indirectly, but whatever. You weren't actually involved in buying it. That carbon should be able to be machmas for you. Logically, we're not going to say it's going to apply to our brother's order. We're avodah, the Torah is, in some cases, machmas on you. We have to say that we're talking about some kind of tshuva where the Torah is being made for us. So our brother's order didn't. Question is, Ema Yeladim. How about the case of a woman who gave birth? The Cholak, where there the Torah distinguishes and makes a distinction between her and most other kinds of people, the Maisa or the Yerim, namely that she has a choice what kind of carbon to bring. That she also follows, similar to the Oda the Yerim that we're talking about here, the Tumas Mitzvah Kacha, a Yeladim, a woman who gave birth. If she's rich, she brings
two animals for a carbon. She brings one animal and one bird. I forget what it is exactly. Yeah, I think one animal and one bird. One for an oiler, one for a chatas. And if she's poor, she brings two birds. So therefore, you see, the Torah is meiko on your lettuce.
But maybe therefore you could say, okay, so the Torah is meiko on her. But the Torah is meiko, and says therefore that is, so now the third of this kipper has been brought in between, she shouldn't have to bring her carbon.
Now the purpose of her carbon, as we're going to discuss, is not really, it's not really a kapara per se. It's not, at least according to the Chachamim,
the carbonates of the Yeledis are not really for kapara. They're because she was tummy and she needs this. She's now called
Mechotzer Kippurim. She needs this carbon in order to be able to eat kodshim. But the Gemara is assuming, for our purposes, for the purpose of this question, that what the Pasuk is telling us is that suppose Yom Kippur passed and she hadn't yet brought her carbon, now she should be potter from her carbon. Without be able to she should be able to eat kodshim without having to bring her carbon. Okay, Tosfos has some difficulties with that question, and they and so do many of the other Rishonim on various grounds. One of them being that it was said before in the Braisa, we learned specifically that the Sir Hanas B'Nim does not take care of a person who otherwise has to bring a carbon. She has to bring it. The fact is, she has to bring a carbon. Why would we think that it passes her from bringing her own personal carbon?
So Tosfos explains that what we're talking about over here is a case of sophos here, like this. We're talking about it, not really know for sure that she gave birth to a child and therefore she's obligated to bring a carbon.
We're talking about there's a sophos, which there can be many types of sophos. There can be a case, for example, where she miscarried, and we're not sure whether what she miscarried is something that had the status of a fetus or not. Was it formed enough to at least 3 days? If she had, then she'd have to bring it. If not, then not.
And in those cases, by the way, when you have a sophos like that, the din is she brings, now again, remember,
the oiler you can't bring on a sophos. So what you do is, she doesn't bring the oiler. What she does is, she brings the chatas of a bird. The halacha Moshe B'Sinai is that you're able to bring a bird chatas for a sophos. They still do the malika, they still do the whole process. Just you can't eat it because if it wasn't a real chatas, then you had malika, it didn't have proper shchita, so therefore the kohenim can't eat it. That's the general rule when you have a chatas, a brut chatas that is brought misak. So now the question is, therefore, why should she have to do that? Why don't we say that? Why don't we say then that the sorer should take care of that, and she shouldn't have to, and she shouldn't have to bring this chatas on a stuffet to be able to eat kachin.
But kohenim can eat malika
only if it was an actual carbon. Only if it was an actual carbon, exactly.
Okay, the way you made it sound.
Yeah. No. I meant because the stuffet. No. Because the stuffet makes
them
eat it.
Because
we don't know if it was a valid carbon or not.
If it's not a carbon, then they for sure wouldn't be able to eat it.
Exactly.
But if it is a carbon,
then they could, right. Okay. So that's the question, therefore, according to Tosfos, is why don't we say that we're talking about this as a stuffet here, like this? The Rimi Gash has a different answer. He says, let's say we're talking about that her, we know she has 40 days after a boy is born, 80 days after a girl is born, only after that she brings her carbon. He talks about what if the 40th day or the 80th day comes out on Yom Kippur?
Mm.
Why don't we say that maybe that the carbon of Yom Kippur takes care instead of hers? Okay, anyway, so why not? The answer is Amar of Hoshia.
No, the answer is Yom Kippur.
The answer is, why doesn't it work? The answer is Amar of Hoshia. L'chol chatoisam v'lo l'chol tumoisam. Because the pasuk says that the sor hanasi b'fnim is supposed to take care of l'chol chatoisam for all those sins, implying v'lo l'chol tumoisam, not for a case where she was tamei and the korban is not coming for kapara, it's coming to make her no longer tamei.
She was tummy without
basically, yeah. But the point is, in other words, there's different levels of tumor. Here, what it is she has there's a tumor that lasts for 1 week or 2 weeks after the birth. 1 week for a boy, 2 weeks for a girl. And we're doing that time. She's tummy. She's completely tummy, and she's also to her husband. After that, during the next 33 days for a boy, 66 for a girl, she's a lesser level of trauma. She goes to the mikveh at that point. At that point, she's a lesser level of trauma. First of all, she's mutter to her husband. I mean, I told her, even if she continues bleeding during that time, she's mutter to her husband. It's called dam toihar. The minhag later developed that we don't do that. But even Rabbanan, she's still taught her. It's all, developed later as a minhag. The Rambam writes that in his times, there was still different minhagim on that in different places. The Rambam writes that in his times, that in France, they still held the dam toihar concept, that even if she was bleeding during those 33, 66 days, she was still mutter to her husband. Later on, even in France and other Ashkenazi places, they changed that as well. Anyway, but during that time, she's still not allowed to eat kodshim. She's allowed to eat truma during that point. But she's not allowed to during the 33 or 66 days, not during the initial 7 or 14
during
days.
After the
7 or 14 days, she's allowed to eat truma. She's not allowed to eat kodshim, though, until she brings her korbanos. So that's what the point is. The korbanos are not so much to be mechaper on her, they're just to remove the impediment to eating kodshim. So therefore, that's not included. And when the pasuk says that the sorer b'fnim is l'chol chatoisam, it's meant to take care of their sins, well, this isn't a sin. Okay, the question is, what about according to Rav Shimon ben Yochai? He says, in fact, the Yeledis has a certain degree of chet because of the concept, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, mainly it's in the Gemara in Nidah, that when she's having the pains of giving birth, a woman very commonly will swear, I'm never going to have relations with my husband. Later on, she goes and does have relations with him without being matzah neder, and therefore, in that sense, she did a chet, and that's why she's bringing a chatos. Well, then in that case, it's a chatas for a chet. Ma'ikal memo. What are you going to say?
Women do that.
No, but if we assume that there's enough women who do that, and therefore the Torah imposes the carbon, then according to the Shimon, it comes out that it is for a chet.
But it's also something if she gets...
No, but that's not the point. The point is that
the Torah tells
us to do it because there's a likelihood that there was that chet. But at least in those cases, you have the chet. So in that case, again, the Torah Hanakalus name should take care of it because it is l'chol chapesam. The answer is Rav Shimon Latame, fine, but Rav Shimon is the same person. He goes according to his own shitta, the Oma, which he said in the Braith earlier on Zion Amad Beis, that I'm not using the limud of mitumos, meaning not all tumos. I'm using a different way of learning it, mimakoimu mukra. I'm learning it from the fact that it says that the chibra ala kodesh mitumos. That have to, our kodesh and mitumos are adjacent to each other. Therefore, I don't need any of your things to say what tumah are we including and what tumah are we excluding, like you're doing, Rabbi Yehuda. I say, obviously, the pasuk is making it clear. It's only tumas mitzvah for kodesh. So I have no reason to think that it should be a yeledim from hakodesh.
From
hakodesh mitumos. So therefore, I have no reason to worry about maybe it could be a yeledis, maybe it could be this, maybe it could be that. As far as I'm concerned, there's not even a havah in it to be a yeledis. Okay. So that takes care of that. That's how we know it can't be the Yoledet. According to Rabbi Yehuda, because she's not a Choyte, and according to Rabbi Shimon, because we have no reason to think a Yoledet would be included anyway. He knows that it's only Tumas Mikdash V'Kadesh. Okay.
To say Kodesh.
Yeah. Okay. Next, how about Eimah Metzora? How about the next phrase? Let's say that maybe, again, going back to the Bihoda, how do you know that the tumor that we're talking about, the Chibra ala Kodesh mitumos, where mitumos, we said, means veloy kol tumos, only a certain type of tumor, maybe the Sura Hanafsa Bifnim is taking care of the Metzora. Where the Metzora, again, you have a similar kind of thing, where the Metzora has also a multi-step process. Where at the beginning, after his tzaraach goes away, they do the whole thing with the birds and the ezov and erez and whatever that's described at the beginning of Parshas Metzorah, they sprinkle on him. That's not a korban per se, but it's a ritual that has to be done for him. After that, he has to shave for 7 days. After that, he shaves again, and then he's a chutzah kapara. In order to be able to eat kodshim, he has to bring a korb. He has to bring a series of korbanos. So he has to bring a group of korbanos. So maybe the Pasuk is telling us that the Metzora, if again, according to Rashi, we're talking about a Vada Metzora. According to Tosfos and all the other Rishonim, we'd be talking about a Sophic Metzora.
Because
again, Tosfos said before that if it's a Vada Metzora, the Braisa already made it clear that the Metzora Hanasimus Nim is not taking care of a case where you have to bring a Korban and we're thinking maybe the Korban Sibur should pass through you from it. We made it clear that it's not so. A Metzora necessarily has to bring a Korban. So the question is on a sopik mitzvah. It's only a sopik whether we have to bring a carbon.
Tell us what Rashi does with that price.
Yeah. Rashi would answer. I don't know actually what Rashi would do with it. Tosfos asked the question. I don't know what Rashi would answer to it. But whatever it is.
Oh, I'm glad I thought I missed.
No, no.
So
okay.
Glad I did.
No. Okay. So maybe we're talking about a mitzvah that the pasuk is telling us that the sur hanaf to the snim makes it that he no longer has to bring his carbonus. For a Vadem Metzora, according to Rashi, for a Sophic Metzora, according to Tosfos. Right. That he remembers, not a question of remembering. We would say, in other words, that he can eat Kodshim right after Yom Kippur without having to bring his Korbanos, either that he never has to bring them, or at least, fine, at some later date, he needs to bring them in order to continue eating in Kodshim, but meanwhile he has a grace period, basically, after Yom Kippur. How do we know that not? Rav Hoshia said, same answer, l'chol chatosim, v'loy l'chol tovosim. Again, the same answer. The pasuk is telling us that the sur hanafsa b'snim is supposed to take care of chatosim, their sins, not tum'osim. The Metzora is a case, again, he's not bringing the korbanos for kapara per se, he's bringing the korbanos to be freed from his tumma. Well, not for chet so much, but for his tumma, because he was tameh, and now he needs to become tahor in order to eat kodesh. That's the question. Lord Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni, what are you going to say according to Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni? Da'amar al shiva dvarim the goyim boy, and he says that a person doesn't just get tzaraas randomly. Tzaraas comes for one of seven averus, my ikal memar. What are you going to say on that? In that case, there is chet involved. The answer is hosam nige di kapra, yes, but the difference is, over there, the nega itself, having the tzaraas itself, basically was the kapara. The korban, the shteruya v'kohol. The korban makes it that he should be mutter for the kohol. Now, what do we mean by the kohol is a very strange expression, because usually when we say the expression lava v'kohol means to intermarry into the Jewish people, but I'm a third of them, and then never had that Easter.
Right.
So on the side over here in Hagos V'Tziyunim, it brings us from Be'er Sheva, who wants to argue that he wants to argue on a couple. He doesn't bring all the details over here. But so the Be'er Sheva. So he just mentions it briefly over here. He says that maybe the Be'er Sheva wants to say that maybe it means to be able to be allowed to re-enter the city and to re-enter the tent. But no, because he can do that as soon as he's done with the bird thing at the beginning of Parashat Metzorah. So it can't mean that. Maybe it means to be matter him to have relations with his wife. But also now you don't need the korban for that. So in the end, he says the word bakahol over here evidently is a mistake. It's a toast soaker. It's supposed to be lover lishduri bakodshim, to be multitik kodshim. So it would be similar to what we said by the Yeladim. Yeah. Okay. So same answer. In other words, Rashi mentions over here, by the way, that a girsa that existed in front of him, which he doesn't like, which says that maybe we wanted to say the Masoda is singled out from other kinds of tumas in that he has to bring the birds. Rashi says that we can't be gurdus that, because that's not a kula, that's separate from his korban, it's not like it's a kula. However, the Rimigash does have that girsa and accepts it and says that's what it means. Maybe it means, though the fact that we see at the beginning of his kapara happens using something that's not even a korban, using birds that are not even part of a regular type of korban, it's a different species of birds, maybe that's enough to be considered cholah. And the answer is that no, because again, chatosam, not tumoisam, or because it's not even according to Shmuel ben Achmeni, the kavanas are not for the kapara. The kaparas are the kavanas are post kapara. After his kapara has already taken place, through having tzaraf, now he needs the kavanas to be able to eat kosher.
There's nothing to do with kapara.
Nothing to do with kapara, basically. Yeah. Okay. Next, ve'eman nazir tomei. Maybe you could say that the tumah that's singled out from all other types of tumas is the case of another tumah, the cholak, and there the distinction between him and everybody else is the mighty totem of Nayona. There you have the difference. Regardless whether he's poor or rich, he always brings two birds as a carbon. He brings two birds as a carbon. He also brings a sheep, but he also brings a sheep as an osham. But primarily, whether he's rich or poor, unlike the other cases, usually you only bring birds as a carbon if you're poor, if you can't afford animals. Here he brings birds regardless. So maybe that's the kola on him again. Maybe we would say, therefore, since the Torah is meiko on him, that if he became tamei, all he has to do is bring the two birds, okay, plus a sheep, fine. Then maybe also the Torah is meiko on him that the sura nasa b'fnim should be mechaper or toilah for him, whatever. Again, vaday nazir tomei according to Rashi, sofik nazir according to everybody else. So how do we know that now? Again, the answer is amar Rav Hoshi, again, b'chol chatoisam below b'chol tomoisam. Same answer. The sura nasa b'fnim, we said, have to take care of a case of chet, where a person did an avera, not we were just talking about tumah. Okay, again, the question is, well, Rabbi Elazar HaKafer, what about according to Rabbi Elazar HaKafer, Doma Nazir Nami Choytehu? He says, as a matter of fact, the Nazir is considered a Choyte because he did wrong by denying, he should not have made this neder to trouble himself, to deny himself wine.
A bit parallel to what we said about the guy,
the Nagir,
it's also...
Vaguely similar, but here it's a different idea. Here it's the very fact that he made a neder and denied himself something, which the Torah has mastered to him. He denied himself wine. For that, he needs kapara. Tosfos points out, on the basis of other Gemaras, that the Nazir, for example, that Rabbi Elazar HaKafer is primarily talking about the case where he became Tomei, which is exactly the case we're talking about over here, where what happens? He originally made a neder that he's going to be denying himself wine, for example. He's going to be denying himself wine for, let's say, 30 days. Now he became Tomei in the middle. Now he has to start again. Now he has to start all over. So that's it. He's denying himself wine more than necessary. So
when another becomes tummy, he has to start all over again.
He has to start all over again. Yeah, we learned that in another. He brings his kovanas. He brings his kovanas. He shaves his hair. He brings his kovanas. He goes to the totem of Nayona, whatever, and then he has to start all over again. Okay. So my ikalamema. So according to the Elazar HaKafer, what are you going to say? There is a case of chet over here. The answer is Sofa Lachar Reb Shimon. Fine, but Rabbi Elazar HaKafer holds like Reb Shimon, which again, Reb Shimon said in our Braisa before that you don't need the limud from Mitumos, which Reb Yehuda uses. Instead, he says just the fact that it says HaKodesh Mitumos implies we're talking only Tumas Mitzvah Shvatachav. So he again doesn't need any ways of knowing that it doesn't mean Avodah Zarah, and it doesn't mean a Yeledes, and it doesn't mean a Masorah, and it doesn't mean a Nazir. He automatically knows right from the Pasuk that it means Tumas Mitzvah Shvatachav. So he doesn't care whether a Nazir is considered a Choyter or not. We didn't know that Rabbi Elazar HaKafer holds like Reb Shimon. Now we know. Rabbi Elazar HaKafer holds like Reb Shimon. Therefore, for him, it's not relevant whether a Nazir is Chayter or not. Okay. Fine. So that takes care of Rabbi Yehuda's limud. Now this is how we know in the end that this is how, by process of elimination, Rabbi Yehuda has gotten down to that the tumah that we're talking about must be tumah smithish for kachar, that the Surah Anasimus name takes care of. Okay. Now moving along to Reb Shimon. We said in the Braita that Reb Shimon says, I don't need Rabbi Yehuda's limud from mitumos, meaning not all tumos. We can learn it from the context itself. It says that he makes kapara on the kodesh from the tumos, implying mitumos or kodesh, implying only tumos that have to do with kodesh, or mikdash for that matter, same thing. The question is, Shapra Kamal Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon has a very good point. Why does Rabbi Yehuda need to learn it in this roundabout way from me too much to like culture much? Rabbi Yehuda, so what would Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? The answer is, Omalach, Hahumi Baile. Yes, but Rabbi Yehuda says, I need the word Al HaKodesh for a different thing. We need that in order to understand Ki Heichi De'Ovid L'Fnai V'Lefnim, the same exact procedure that the Kohen Gadol did inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where he takes the blood of the par and sprinkles Achas Famayla V'Shev L'Masa. And then he does the same thing with the Damasurir, that he goes out, he comes back in with the Damasurir and does the same thing, exactly the same thing, Hochinavid Behechel, exactly the same thing he has to do, Al HaKodesh, meaning in the Hechel. If we didn't have the word Al HaKodesh, we wouldn't know that. And that's how it is. We say in the Avodah of Yom Kippur, we have four times over there, achas, achas, va'achas, achas, ushtayim, etc. Because that's what he does. He does eight times with the blood of the par in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, eight times with the blood of the sire in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, then eight times with the Dama Par outside in front of the Parochus, eight times with the Dama Sir, same thing, so far 32. Then he mixes them together, and the rest he does on the Mizbeach Hazav, seven on the top and four on the corners. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, I need the words Allah Kodesh to tell us that you have to do the same thing that you did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You have to do it in the Kodesh.
And what does Rabbi Shimon?
What does Rabbi Shimon answer to that? He says, "Abu Mevachen Yasa Nafka." Fine, but earlier in that same pasuk, or later in that same pasuk, it says, "Vachen Yasa." This is and so shall he do. So therefore, so shall he do. You should do exactly the same thing. What does Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He says, "Imeagi." Yes, but if you only have the word "Vachen Yasa," you would think it means the entire procedure. Nicey par v'sorer achrini. Maybe it means that for the sprinklings and the heichel, you have to get another par and shecht it, and another sorer and shecht it, v'navid, and then take their blood into the heichel and sprinkle it. How do you know? It means the exact same par and the exact same sorer from before, that you take their blood into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then into the Kodesh, into the heichel. You wouldn't know that from Vachen Yasa. Vachen Yasa, you could think, means you're starting all over from the beginning, from shechting them. Kamash Malan, that is why the Pasuk has to say Al HaKodesh to make it clear that you mean in the Kodesh you use the exact same blood you used before. V'Rav Shimon, what does Rav Shimon answer to that? He says, V'chein Yasa v'oyom oyv minei mashma. Yeah, but the word V'chein Yasa itself means you're using the same thing that you used before. V'chein Yasa does not mean, according to Rav Shimon, you should have to start all the way over from shechting new animals. No, of course it means that you take the same blood that you're using all this time and continue using it. So therefore, according to him, the word Allah Kodesh is available. Therefore, we can use it for the Darash.
Rav Shimon says
necessarily means that you should take the exact same blood, the exact same two basins of blood that you were using, and do the same thing with them in the Heichol as you did in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So therefore, you don't need the word Allah Kodesh to teach us that, unlike Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, I have Allah Kodesh available. Therefore, I can use it to Darshan Allah Kodesh Mitumas. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that V'chein Yasa conceivably could have meant that you need to start with a new pilot, a new sire, he needs the word Ala Kodesh to tell us that now. Okay. Next
discussion.
So that's it. Next part of the braisa. Omar Yochol Al Kol Tumas Shabakodesh Yehi Sire Zemachaper. Then the braisa had said we would think in that case, fine. So the sire is mechaper on any case involving tuma in the Kodesh. Meaning, in other words, it could include the case where you had your diyah at the beginning and at the end, and halem in the middle, where you're supposed to be bringing your own carbon. It could include the case where you had your diyah at the beginning but not at the end. It could include the case you have your diyah at the end but not at the beginning. It could include the case you never had your diyah. How do we know which one it includes? So we said in the braisa like this, and let's look back on Zion of Days at near the bottom. About 12 lines from the bottom. Yochalakol tumash of a mikdash yehi sorer zemachaper. So you would think this sorer is mechaper for any case is tumash of a kodesh. Talmud Loma. Therefore, the pasuk had said mipishehem umipishehem lachol hatosim. It said from their deliberate, it's mechaper for their deliberate rebellious averus for all their hatosim. Meaning chatoyim dubya depshoyim. So we're comparing the chatoyim to the pshoyim. Mapshoyim sheinim bnei korban. Just like by definition, a pesha does not involve a korban, because if he was bemazed throughout, he's certainly not bringing a korban. Then it means the chet also has to be a case where you're not able to bring a korban.
But the chet is not bemazed.
No, but the point is, since we're making a comparison between pishehem and chatoisam, therefore it means that there has to be a certain similarity between them. The similarity is we're talking about a case of a chet where you don't bring a korban. What would that be? Where you had your diyah at the beginning but not at the end, because you can't bring the korban because you don't have your diyah at the end. So now
that's
back.
A different reason.
Fine, but nevertheless, the fact is you don't bring a korban in either case.
Right.
So now back to Ogamar. We said, Omamah, Yochalakal Tumas Shur Mikta Shehe Sur is a Machaper. We said you would think the Kurban, the Sur Hanasa Bethnim, is Machaper on any Tumas Shabakodesh. Tamad Laimim, Pishayim Machochatoysim. Therefore, the Pasuk had said, Mipishayim Machochatoysim, as we said, that there's a comparison between the Pesha and the Chet. That in both cases, you don't bring a Kurban of your own.
One, because it's Mamazin.
One, because it's Mamazin, and the other one, because you don't have your DFB. So, the question is,
it's the opposite reason.
Yeah, okay, fine, but nevertheless. Okay. So the question is, what are you thinking to ask what it should be mechaper for? My nihu, what is the case that you're thinking of what is the case that you're thinking that you that it should pater you from a korban, and we're saying that no, because you have to bring your own korban. The question is like this: you're telling me that we need to be memayet a case. We need to be memayet a case where you're obligated to bring a korban, and that's what we're memayet those shavuos. So those are matters. We need to be memayet a case where you are obligated to bring your own korban, and we're memayet that you would mipishayim l'chol chatoisam. That it means it has to be the kind of chet where you're not bringing a korban. So let's figure out, what are we trying to be memayet? Mind me, what is that case where you should have to bring a korban? Yesh v'yedia b'tchila v'yesh v'yedia b'sof, where you have yedia at the beginning and yedia at the end. Question is, okay, hi, by korban. Obviously, you have to bring your own korban. Why should we think that the sar hanasa b'fnim, which is not even your own personal korban, why should we think that that takes away your own obligation to bring your own korban? That we should need a miut from the pasuk to tell us that. Shouldn't it be logical if you're obligated to bring your own carbon? A carbon sibber is not going to be machapa for you. The answer is yes, but the chiddush is we could be talking about a case where he only found out that he had eaten the kodshim or got into the business of the right before shkia sachama, right on Erev Yom Kippur, right at the end of the day. So there was no chance to bring the carbon. So therefore you would think, Adamaisi, in that case, well, necessarily he can't bring his korban before Yom Kippur, there's no time in the day, until he brings it mitzvah. Maybe the Sar Hanas B'Fnim should be toilet for him and protect him from Yisurim until he's able to bring his korban. Kamash Mulan, that is the Chiddush, even in that case, not. It's only even some of the Shkia, because the fact is, since he had Yudia before Yom Kippur, then that case is excluded from what we're saying the Sar Hanas B'Fnim takes care of. The Sar Hanasa B'Fnim will only take care of the case where there was no Yediyah before Yom Kippur. So that is the Chiddush. Even though you would think, poor guy, he can't bring his korban before Yom Kippur. He only found out a minute before. It means that Yisurim might come on him. It means that as soon as possible after Yom Kippur. Yeah, maybe. It means after Yom Kippur, he better be bringing his korban as quick as possible. But meanwhile, over Yom Kippur, he may have Tzoras. Yeah. Omar. Then we said in the Braisa, another thing, we said, now we continue in the Braisa, how do we know that the case where you had Yedia at the beginning and you didn't have Yedia at the end, Shasur is a Torah, how do we know that that's the case where the Sur Hanasa this name is Torah? What's the question? You just established that chet has to be similar to pesha. The type of chet that it's machapa for is the type where you're not bringing a korban. Just like for pesha, you're not bringing a korban. So in that case, obviously, that must be the case. Why? What do we mean minayin? How do we know that we need another limud for that?
For the sof, the yediyah.
Where there was yediyah b'tchila and not the sof. We said like this. We said in the Braisa that how do you know if you had Yediyah B'Tchila and not Yediyah B'Sof? How do you know that that is the case where this Sawyer of Hanasa B'Fnim is Toila? And the reason is because since it said L'chol Chatoisam implies somebody who is Chayav Chatos. So the question is, what exactly is the Braisa asking? Once we established from the previous Limud that Mipishehem L'chol Chatoisam, that it means that there's a comparison between Chet and Pesha, that the type of Chet we're talking about is the type where you're not bringing a korban, well then automatically one of those types is where you have your Yediyah at the beginning and not your Yediyah at the end. So what do we need to ask? The answer is halachic kokashala, yes, but the question is as follows. Hashta da'amat chatoyim yom yudipshoyim, given that you're saying that the chatoyim, the whole chatoyim, is similar to the pshoyim, mipishehem, and you said ma pshoyim delavnei korban, af chatoyim nami delavnei korban, and we said that the comparison is just like by pshoyim, you're not bringing a korban, so also the chatoyim is a situation where you're not bringing a korban. If you're going to understand it that way, ema, then you might understand it like this. It means only ma pshoyim delavnei korban la'olam. Maybe, let's consider it. Pshoyim is a case where you're never going to have a situation you bring a korban. You had yediyah throughout. You knew you were tamei. You ate kodshim or went into the Beis Mikdash. You're never going to be in a situation where you bring a korban for such a thing. By that logic, chatoyim should also be a situation where there's never going to be a korban, where there's never even a possibility that you would have to bring a korban. Umayminu, and what would be the case where you're never capable of bringing a korban? Ain ba yediyah b'tchilah, v'yesh ba yediyah b'tzlut. The other way around, if you had no yediyah at the beginning, but you had yediyah at the end, then that would be the case. You're never going to be in a situation of bringing a korban because you can't change the past. The fact is, before you became tamei, you didn't. Before you ate the kodshim or whatever, you didn't have yediyah. So you're not going to go. You can't go change the past. There's never going to be a situation you bring a korban.
No, you do at the beginning, and you have yediyah at the end.
You also don't bring a korban. But in a way, that's more similar among the cases involving yediyah and helem. That would be more similar to pesha than the other way around, where you had yediyah at the beginning and no yediyah at the end.
Fish
where conceivably, eventually, yeah, because in the one case, conceivably, eventually, you're going to remember, you're going to realize, and then you're going to bring a korban. As opposed to the other case, where there was no yediyah at the beginning, you're never going to be in a situation of bringing a korban, which is much more similar to pesha. So that's the question. If the pasuk is giving us a comparison between chet and pesha, then the logical thing, the logical case to compare to pesha would be the case where there was no yediyah at the beginning. Not a case where there was yediyah at the beginning and no yediyah at the end. So that's the Bryce's question then. If you have yediyah at the beginning and no yediyah at the end, given the kinyan yadalei by korbanu, since after all, eventually when you do find out what happened over here, you are going to be liable to bring a korban. Emaloi litli fakert. You should say on the basis of that comparison between pesha and chet, you should say you should not that the sarah nasibik name does not suspend anything for you. You're still subject to yisurim until you remember and bring your korban.
Because the other one, when you have no yediyah.
Because when you have no yediyah at the beginning, you're never going to be in a situation of bringing a korban, which is more like pesha. Yeah, it's more like pesha. Adarav, the case when you had yediyah at the beginning and none at the end is less similar to that, because eventually you could remember and be in a situation of bringing a korban. Well, before we get to the answer, the chi tema, and let's continue with what the Braitha was implying in its question. When the Braitha asked, we have a lot of it here implied in the one word in the Braitha, minayin. We have the question is, why do we have that? The Gemara's question is why the Braitha had a question, and so we're teaching out that minayin and explaining why we would think that not. The chi tema, so you might think to answer that question. I don't need another limud for that. Very simple. Because we know from our Mishnah that at the beginning of the Masechta, that if there's no yediyah at the beginning and there is yediyah at the end, sar hanasa b'chutz, we have a kapur machaper. We know for that you have a different carbon. You have the sar hanasa b'chutz, the sar that's brought as one of the mustafim of Yom Kippur, together with Yom Kippur, is machaper for you. So therefore you would answer, of course, then that's how you know that in that case, that in that case you don't need the sar hanasa b'chutz, because you already have the sar hanasa b'chutz.
That's why we start by the case that we do not have yediyah at the beginning.
Well, we would say that. We would argue that the Braitha doesn't have to ask how we know that it's one as opposed to the other, because the other one is taken care of by the Sura and after the host. The problem is, Dr. Adachamina, Nebuch Mefach. Fine, but how do you know it's not the other way around? Maybe the Sura Hanasibus Nim takes care of the case where you didn't have Yediyah at the beginning, but you have Yediyah at the end. And the Sura Hanasibachut takes care of the other way around, where you had Yediyah at the beginning, but not at the end. How do we know? It's not the other way around. I mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta, but the Sura Hanasa B'Snin is, okay, so you have there's two goats that are going to be on Yom Kippur. Aside from the Sura Lazazo, which we dealt with at the end of the Mishnah, and we're going to deal with later in the parak. Among the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, you have two goats. One of them is the one that the Kohen Gadol brings the one that's part of the girdle, the other one being the Sura Lazazo. It is shechted, and its blood is brought, as we said before, into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkled eight times there, eight times on the Parochet, then mixed with the blood of the par and sprinkled on the Mizeh HaZav. That one is called the Sura Hanas B'Snim.
Right.
Then you have
is
one.
That the one that comes out of the Smicha?
No. No, the Kohen Gadol does Smicha on the par.
The
Smicha on the par, as well as on the Sura on the Shabbat. He doesn't do Smicha on the Sura Lazazo.
It's
called B'Fnim because it's brought into the Hechol. It's brought into the Hechol, into the Chodesh and the Chodesh HaKadoshim. Then you have the Sura Hanas B'Chutz is every Yom Tov, every Rosh Chodesh, every Yom Tov, every Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you have a Korban Musaf that's brought. The Korban Musaf, standard Korban Musaf, consists of a certain number of sheep, usually seven, a certain number of rams, usually two, sometimes one, sometimes two, and a certain number of bulls, again, sometimes one, sometimes two, which are all oilless, as well as a sor, which is brought as a chatas. Every Rosh Chodesh, for example, we say in davening, when chasim and eskeim kum duba, shloisha eser lapor, shnei eser lapor, etc., etc., the sor lachatas. Every Yom Tov, we pretty much every Yom Tov we say the Torah of a Chatter. So you have a Torah which is brought as a Chatter. That one is treated
every
like
Yom Tov has a
Torah. Every Yom Tov has a Torah, as well as Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Rosh Chodesh. Yes.
And the job of those.
So that's what we dealt with in the Mishnah. With those kapar also we dealt with in the Mishnah, and we're going to deal later in the Gemara.
It's a little different than Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
But they're all the same as each other.
So that's what we had different opinions in the Mishnah,
right.
And we're going to discuss it over the next couple of months.
Hold on. Yeah.
Wait, and we'll get to it over the next couple of days. We're going
to
get there. We discussed it in the Mishnah. We're going to get back to it in the Gemara, but let's not confuse the issue right now. The Sir Hanasa Bachutz of Yom Kippur, therefore, is the Sir that is just part of the regular carbon musaf. It's treated like any other chatas. It's shechted. The blood of it is daubed on the four corners of the Mizbeach HaChitzon. The rest of the blood is spilt on the side. Parts of it are burnt on the Mizbeach, and the rest is eaten by the Kohenim after Yom Kippur. So that, as opposed to the Sir Hanasa Bifnim, where after they finish with everything involving the blood, and then they take the whole thing, and they take Chutzal Machna, they take the whole thing outside Yerushalayim and burn it there, yeah.
Wow.
That's the Sir Hanasa Bifnim. There's a Kosev, I don't know.
What does it say then?
It says in the Kosev.
That's Kabbalah, if you want to
get it. Okay.
No, that's
how it is, yeah. Okay. Fine. So the question is...
Which Pasha says that?
So this is all Nachman, Moses, and we laid it on him paper morning, yeah. Well, the whole part involving the special korbanos, the korbanos that are unique to Yom Kippur, is an Achrim Mos. Then you have in Parshas Emor, in Parshas Pinchas, where it talks about all the Musafim of the Yom Tovim, we read that as Machter on Yom Kippur. There it describes the regular korbanos Musaf. They have Parachod, Ayolachod, Kvot Mereshon, Shiva Tmimim, and the Menachos, and the Nesachim, and the Sar. That's all in Pinchas, yeah. Okay. So, back to our Gemara over here. So the Braita is asking like this. Again, how do we know that the Sir Hanasa Bifnim is taking care of the case of Yediyah B'Tchila but not the Seif? Maybe it's the other way around. And you would think maybe Adarabe should be the other way around, because the other way around, where there's no Yediyah at the beginning and there is Yediyah at the end, is more similar to Pesha, in that neither of them is ever a case that could come to a korban. Whereas Yediyah B'Tchila but not the Seif, eventually you could remember and bring a korban. You're going to say, okay, well, we know from our Mishnah that the case where there's no Yediyah at the beginning and there is Yediyah at the end, the Sir Hanasa Bachutz takes care of that. The question is, still, how do you know it that way? Maybe it's the other way around. That is why the Braita needs to be... Yeah, maybe the one Bifnim takes care of that case. The one Bachutz takes care of the case where conceivably you could eventually remember and bring a korban. How do you know that not? That is why the Braita had to mention Omakro l'chol chatoisam mikval de b'nei chatoisam. That is why the Braita had to spell out that the pasuk says l'chol chatoisam, implying we're talking about a case that could conceivably lead to that could conceivably lead to a chatos. So Rashi explains that we say it like this: the pasuk could have said mipish ehem umei chatoisam, and then it would mean that it's mechaper on the pesha, which is similar to chatoisam. Instead, when it says l'chol chatoisam, it implies right now the person is in a situation of pesha. Right now, the person is in a situation as if he's still rebelling against Hashem, because he did an aveda and hasn't brought his korban yet. However, it's not totally his fault, because he can't bring a korban at this point, because he has no yediyah at the end, but eventually he is expected to remember. Meanwhile, it will be toilah for him. Mipi sheyem l'chol chatoisam, for his situation, which eventually could bring to a chatas, but right now is in a situation of pesha. There's a different way of understanding it. The Malbim brings on the pasuk an interesting idea that when it says l'chol chatoisam, that's really really based on the next piece of Gemara, which the Gemara is going to say l'chol chatoisam implies that it's something that's eventually going to come to a chatas. The Malbim on the pasuk says an interesting thing. L'chol is a lamed means to, and therefore it can be ad v'loy ad v'chal. It means up to there but not there. So it comes up to the point where you need a chatas, but not the point where you actually need the chatas. So therefore, when we have a situation where eventually you're going to need to bring a chatas, you're still going to eventually need to bring your chatas. Meanwhile, it takes care of you up until that point, until you reach the point of having to being in a situation to bring the chatas. Yes. Okay. Okay. So the question is, v'niskapa kapara gemara. Fine. Based on that limud, why don't you say that the sor hanasa b'fnim gives you a complete kapara? Why are you saying it's only meaning that you shouldn't have to bring your korban eventually? Why are we saying that it only does a partial thing? It only suspends things for the time being. The answer is iksid mechatosam to the kamer. Sure. If it said mechatosam, that's exactly what it would mean. Hasha the Ketuv L'chol Chatoisim. But now, since it says L'chol Chatoisim,
how do you imply it's Chatoisim? It says L'chol.
Again, because it said it could have, if it said Mei Chatoisim would mean that it takes care. You no longer have to bring your Chatos. L'chol Chatoisim. Again, Mipishayim L'chol Chatoisim implies, as Rashi said, that right now you're in a situation of Pesha. Eventually, you will come to the situation of being a Chatos. At that point, you have to bring a Chatos.
From where do you see that?
That's what because it says L'chol Chatoisim. As opposed to Mei Chatosim. Mikol, the Mei Chatosim. So Hashdach, the L'chol Chatosim. Lahanach, the also L'chol Chatos. It must mean a situation where eventually you will be in a situation of having to bring a Chatos, mainly because you're eventually going to remember. You're eventually going to remember, and when you do, you will be in the category of bringing a Chatos.
If you remember.
Some of the other Rishonim also say the word is L'chol Chatosim. L'chol is like L'chol. Implying that there's going to be a point when you're in kol, when you're in the general group of people who have to bring a chatos. When will that be? When you have your deer at the end. When you remember at the end, yeah. Okay. So in that case, if we're saying that the sir hanasu nim is not machaper, in what sense is it toila? In what sense, when we say that it suspends things, in what sense? What does that mean? After Yom Kippur, you're still going to be expected to remember and you're still going to be expected to bring your carbon. So Rav Zera says, true, but it means that if a person were to die during that period without ever having realized that he had been over on Tumas Mitzvah Kodshav, he would be that he dies without that Aveira. The Sar Hanas Mifnim was Toila in the sense that the Aveira is gone for the time being. It's temporarily wiped away. If he ever remembers, he'll have to bring the carbon, but he never remembered. Therefore, take care of it. However, Amalei Rava, the Sima Marakas, the Rava says, what do you mean? And if a person dies, death itself cleanses him of his Aveira. Any Aveira that a person did Tshuva for, and where Tshuva itself is not the complete Kapara, and even Yom Kippur is not a complete Kapara, then Misa is. The Gemara mentions in Yuma, for example, Chil Hashem is the ultimate in that, that even you can have a person person does Tshuva, goes through Yom Kippur, even has Yisurim, you still need Misa to be Mechaper for it fully. But Misa takes care of the last thing, yeah. So then, in that case, so what do you need? What do you mean, mess below oven? And that would be the case. That would be the case even if you didn't have the sir and after the name. Ella, I'm a rabba lahogin ella min yisurin. No, what rabba says, toila means, as we've been saying all this time, that it means that he won't be subject to yisurim. The Eibishter will not punish him with yisurim. Meanwhile, until
he says yisur.
No, misa. Eventually, everybody dies. But yisurim, physical suffering. That would be normally necessary to be mechaper on such a thing. This person will be protected from that. Meanwhile, because of the sir hanasu b'fnim, until he eventually remembers and brings his carbon. But it still means, I guess, conceivably, he could still get yisurim until Yom Kippur. So he does tumas nefesh v'kodshav sometime during the middle of the year. He could still conceivably end up having yisurim between then and Yom Kippur. But after Yom Kippur, he'll be safe from it as long as he didn't have yediyah. Under Yediyah B'Sof, that is, until he eventually does have his Yediyah B'Sof, and then he better hurry and bring his carbon.
Does he have to keep Yom Kippur, actually? So
of course he has to keep Yom Kippur. What do you mean?
No. But if he doesn't keep Yom Kippur.
That's a different thing. We said over here that we said in the Mishnah and in the discussion over here, we said that the Sir Hanasu's name and Yom Kippur on the Chaper. And Yom Kippur means that he has to actually believe in the effectiveness, in the kapara of Yom Kippur. The Gemara, in fact, discusses, I think, in Chrysos, the question if a person doesn't believe in the kapara of Yom Kippur, then in fact it doesn't help him. Yeah. Okay. Then we said, okay, now continuing back to our Mishnah. Now we said in the Mishnah that if you have the other way around, you had no yediyah of Tumah at the beginning, and again, we discussed earlier in the parak what kind of yediyah we mean. Does it have to be that you knew? Is it enough that you know the basic concept? You touch something tumah, you become your ulcer to eat kodshim, etc. Or does it mean in this specific case, you had to know that you became tumah, whatever it is? So you didn't have that at the beginning. The yesh for yediyah b'sof, but you did eventually find out that when you ate these kodshim or went into the bais mikdash, you were tumah. Then we said, Sar Hanasu b'chutz, v'yevah kapur m'chapur. Then we said, the Sar Hanasu b'chutz, again, meaning the Sar that is part of the regular carbon musaf of Yom Kippur, together with Yom Kippur itself, is m'chapur. Now it's not toila, now it's m'chapur, because you're never going to be in a situation where you'd have to bring the carbon, because again, you can't change the past. You didn't have the diya in the past. There's no going back on that. So the question is, Gemara says, mechbi, let's consider, it kushi it kashla hadodi. we have a hekesh in the pasuk between the two seirim. We have a hekesh between the two seirim. So therefore, the question is basically going to be like this: if there is a hekesh between the sur apnimi and the sur achitza, therefore we should say that whatever one takes care of, the other takes care of, or we should say that one of them takes care of both. Why do we say that each one takes care of a different situation?
What's the hekesh?
We're going to have it further in the Gemara, I think. So, the nikata pnimi adidev adichitzen. Why don't we say then that the sur hanasibim takes care of both cases, both the case of to be toila for the yediyah b'tchila and not yediyah b'sof, like we said before, as well as let it take care of the case that is supposed to be taken care of by the chitzon, where it was the other way around. And you'd ask, so then what do you need that for? Why do you need one korban to do two kaparas, when anyway you're going to later be bringing the other korban that'll do the other kapara? The reason is, let's say it'll help in case you don't end up doing the chitzon. Let's say, for example, Rashi says, let's say they didn't have enough goats for the purpose on Yom Kippur, so therefore they only have one goat available. Well, therefore, of necessity, it's going to have to be the sur hanasibim, because that's more important than the one that's part of the korban musaf. So therefore, you only have the one. So therefore, we would say maybe in that case, that one carbon takes care of both cases. The answer is that doesn't work because omakro ah. No, the reason why it doesn't work is because the pasuk says we're about the what? Mekudei Rashi says, oh, the hekesh. Yeah, because the. Thank you. You're right. Rashi mentions it at the beginning of the Masechta. The reason is, thank you, because. You have a pasuk that says again, by the Mustafa, it says like this: Ir chatas echa, you bring one goat as a chatas, milavad chatas ekipurim, besides for the chatas of the which is unique to Yom Kippur, which is the sar hanasib of nim. So we see that there's a hekesh between them. We're making a comparison between the one of the chitzon, which is the sir chatas echa, which is a chatas chitzon, and the one unique to Yom Kippur, which is the chatas, which is the sar of nim.
Because
we put them in the same pasuk, because we say sir chatas echa milavad chatas ekipurim. You have one sawyer for a chatas besides the chatas of Yom Kippur. That is a hekesh. We're saying that there's a certain similarity between them.
What's the similarity?
The similarity that they're both mentioned in the same pasuk. That's what we're asking. Why shouldn't we say they're both similar in that the one bifnim, which is the primary one, should take care of the same thing that the one bachutz takes care of. So supposing you had a situation where you only brought the one bifnim, then it should take care of both cases. Yediyah b'tchila and not the sof, which is what it itself is supposed to take care of, and you give a safe, but not a tchila, which is what the one that the chitzen one is usually supposed to take care of.
But that is.
Yes. And we know that not. The answer is almost. We know that not, because our Mishnah said that one is mechaper for one and the other is mechaper for the other.
Right.
The answer is no. It doesn't work because omar pro ach. Because the pasuk says, in connection with the sur hanasibim, it says that the Kohen Gadol sprinkles from its blood on the Mizbeach HaZahav, and the pasuk uses the expression, v'chiper Aaron al-karnos of achas bashana. Aaron should make kapara on the horns of the corners of the inner Mizbeach, of the golden Mizbeach, once a year. Now, once a year, it doesn't just mean to tell us that it means that's only one day a year on Yom Kippur, because we know that already. In Achrimot, where the Torah tells us the details, it says that this takes place only on Yom Kippur. So therefore, the word achas teaches us there's only one kind of kapara that it accomplishes, not two.
There's one time for that kapara.
No. If it's just one time, we would know that already from Achrimot. We don't need a pasuk at the end of Parashat Tetzave to tell us what we're already going to have in detail in Achrimot. It teaches us that kapara, which takes place once a year on Yom Kippur, which is described in Parashat Achrimos, that kapara only accomplishes, or that ritual, that thing of sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach HaZahav, only accomplishes one type of kapara, not two. So therefore, the Sarah Nachmanim can only take care of one of them.
Achas means one.
Achas means one. No, but it also means one kapara. Kapara achas mechaper. It's mechaper one kapara. Ve'ena mechaper shtei kaparas. It's not mechaper two things. Okay, why don't we say the other way around? Why don't we say, fine, let's take it the other way around then. Let the chitzon take care of what it's supposed to take care of, namely the case where there was, again, where there was no yediyah at the beginning, but there was yediyah at the end. And let it also take care of let it also take care again of what the Pnimi took care of, and you would ask, you took, and you would ask, what do you need it for? You're doing them all on the same day. Nachkamina, the Tumah de'ira ben zelazet. You would have, the Nachkamina would be, let's say, for example, on Yom Kippur itself, after the Kohen Gadol finished with the Sarah HaNafah with him, after that, somebody was over on Tumas Mitzvah Shekonshav, maybe at that point, where there was Yediyah at the beginning and not at the end, we should say, maybe the Sarah HaNafah with Bachut, the one from Musaf, which is brought later on in the day, maybe that one should take care of that situation where on that day where it couldn't have been taken care of by the Pnimi because it hadn't happened yet. So maybe it should take care of it now.
Is when the Pnimi hadn't happened?
No, the Pnimi had happened already. The Pnimi happened at 10 o'clock in the morning, let's say.
Right.
Then at 10:30 the guy was over on Tumas Mikdash for Kotzer.
After
the Pnimi. And then at 11 o'clock the Kohen Gadol was doing the Sarah HaNafah Bachutz.
So yeah.
So why don't we say that the Sarah HaNafah Bachutz will take care of that kind of situation? Even though this is the situation that normally would be handled by the Sarah HaNafah Bachutz, but that was already brought before he did the
Abed.
Instead of having to wait for next year's Sarah HaNafah Bachutz, let it be taken care of by this year's Sarah HaNafah Bachutz. Why not?
Right.
The answer is, again, because the Pasuk says, Omakro Achas Bashana, again, because the Pasuk says, Achas Bashana, meaning Kapora Zulo Tehei Ala Achas Bashana. It means this kind of Kapora only takes place once a year. So not even two. So it's two different things. So it's Achas, meaning it's one Kapora, but
kapora,
also Achas Bashana. Right. Right. So in other words, you have two different
things.
But
why don't we say for both two kingdoms, it's Achas Bashana?
Instead
of saying one, it's the one korban, and the other one, it's one.
So actually, Rashi explains that actually we're dealing with two different psukim. There, you have a pasuk achas bashana, you have a pasuk achas bashana, the last pasuk parashas Tetzave, and you have another achas bashana in parashas Achrimo. It's at the end, the last pasuk of the section about Yom Kippur, that the lachapra of Bnei Yisrael achas bashana.
Right.
So therefore, we can use them for two different limudim.
It would be logical to use it for this. It means the same thing.
Fine. So one of them teaches us it's one kapara that it accomplishes during the year,
yeah,
and the other one, that kapara can only happen once a year. Okay. Tosfos points out you don't need to say it that way. You could have said the pasuk could have said achas ba'osar. The pasuk could have said once on the tenth, and instead it says achas bashana once on the tenth, meaning the tenth of the month.
Right.
And it says that achas bashana. Yeah. Since it says achas bashana, so therefore we have two different ways of looking. We have number one that says achas at all, and number two that says bashana. And
it doesn't say once on the tenth.
Right, but it says achas bashana.
Bashana.
So therefore, we have two different ways of learning. One that it could have said achas. One that it could have said that it didn't have to say anything at all, because we know from the whole description in Achrimos that all this takes place only on Yom Kippur. And number two, so number one, the fact that the whole expression is extra, and number two, the fact that it says achas bashana rather than achas ba'osar once on the tenth. Okay. Okay. Now let's continue. Ulu Rabbi Shmuel. Now we have to ask. We're gonna learn later on in the second parak that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Rabbi Shmuel holds in order to be chayev a korban for Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav, you don't need Yedia b'Tchila and b'Soif and Helam in the middle. He learns the Rabbi Shmuel Dama, Ein ba Yediyah b'tchila v'yesh ba Yediyah b'soif, even if you don't have Yediyah at the beginning, but you do have Yediyah at the end, as long as, so you had Helam, you were over on Tumas Mikdash v'Kodshav b'shogeg, later on you realize that you did that, and Rabbi Shmuel says that's enough, by Korban Hu, you're obligated at that point to bring a Korban.
He likes it works retroactively, basically.
Not retroactively, he says you don't need the Yediyah b'tchila. He says you don't need the Yediyah b'tchila. You don't need to have known at the beginning. And Tosfos points out that evidently the Gemara knew that Rabbi Shmuel holds. You don't even need Yediyah beis rabbi. You don't even need, it could even be you're a tinik shenishva. You grew up never knowing that if you touch something tamei or you become tamei, whatever, that you're not allowed to eat terumah v'kodshim. You never knew that concept. You ate terumah, you ate kodshim b'tumah. Later on, you find out that you were also to do that. Rabbi Shmuel would say you're chayav a korban. Which, I mean, it's not much different, for example. I mean, you know, you have a similar concept, let's say, with Shabbos. Everybody agrees with Shabbos that you don't need Yediyah at the beginning to be chayav a chatas for Shabbos, or for breaking Shabbos.
Shabbos is different. Once Shabbos is gone, you didn't know you had to keep Shabbos. How are you going to bring a korban?
What do you mean, how are you going to bring a korban? If you broke Shabbos for Shogeg, you bring a korban. And you can have a situation.
You knew that there was Shabbos existed.
No. You have the Gemara discusses in Shabbos. Because that you have a person who never knew the whole concept of the Gemara discusses over there again about a Tinik Shanishma. You can have a person who never knew the whole concept of Shabbos. He does all kinds of malachas for years and years on Shabbos. When he eventually learns about Shabbos, he has to bring one chassas to take care of all of the times. He broke Shabbos and all of the malachas. So Rabbi Shmuel says essentially the same thing when it comes to Tumah. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, then the question is, Sir Hanasa B'chutz Amai Mechaper. Then according to him, what is the Sir Hanasa B'chutz Mechaper for? According to him, you need to bring a korban. The Sir Hanasa B'chutz can't take care of pastoring you from bringing a korban that you should have to bring. The answer is Rabbi Shmuel would say differently than our Mishnah. Al she'ein b'yediyah lo b'tchila v'lo b'tzayt. Fine, Rabbi Shmuel moves everything one over. He says, therefore, fine. The Sir Hanasa B'chutz takes care where there was no yediyah at the beginning and no yediyah at the end.
So he never finds out.
So he never finds out, right. So he still needs a kapara, but fine, you can't make him bring a korban because he has no way of knowing. So therefore, instead, one of the korban, a sibber, takes care of it. Yeah. Well, not toilet, machaper then. Machaper, yeah. Okay, fine.
Well, eventually he's going to find out.
Maybe not. Okay.
So if he finds out, is it
machaper? If he finds out. Yeah, so if he finds out, then maybe he thought to bring a korban. I don't know. No. Rabbi Shmuel might, I don't know. Okay, the question is, okay, but we learned in the Mishnah that that's the case for which the Seirim that are brought on the Yom Tovim and the ones that are brought on Rosh Chodesh are Mechaper for that. So what do you need? The one from Yom Kippur.
If there's no Yediyah,
but Chila or Besoif. We said the ones from Regolim and the ones from Rosh Chodesh are Mechaper on those.
Right.
So what do you need? The one from Yom Kippur.
Rabbi Yishmael agrees with that?
Well, that's the answer. It's Savalak Rabbi Meir, because we can say that Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Meir, Dhamma, which Rabbi Meir said in our Mishnah, Kol ha-Se'irim kaparas and shaval tumas nefesh v'kachav. He would say that all of the Se'irim that are part of the Korbanos Musaf, all of them accomplish the same exact kapara, al tumas nefesh v'kachav, that they take care of tumas nefesh v'kachav, and we said over there, according to Rabbi Meir, they take care of three different scenarios in tumas nefesh v'kachav. One, we said we had over there that they take care of the case where there was no yediyah at the beginning, but there was yediyah at the end, which is what we said before is what the Sir Hanasa B'chutz of Yom Kippur, which is what the Sir Hanasa B'chutz of Yom Kippur we said before takes care of. The mayor holds also the ones from Regolim and Rosh Chodesh take care of that. Also, the case where there's no yediyah at the beginning and at the end. And a third case of Tahar Sha'achal HaTameh, and the third case where the person is Tahar, unlike the other cases where the person was Tameh, but the food that he ate, the kodshim that he ate, was Tameh. So the mayor says, the mayor says that the one from the one for the Chitzan one of Yom Kippur, as well as the similar ones that are brought on Rosh Chodesh and on all the Yom Tovim, all of them accomplish exactly the same kapara. Fine, Rabbi Shmuel holds the same way. Rabbi Shmuel agrees with that.
It's a kapara or it's...
It's a kapara. It's a kapara because there was no yediyah at the beginning at the end. Yeah. Right. Okay. El olamai hilchta iske shchitzin l'pnimi. In that case, then you have to ask, according to Rabbi Shmuel, then, why do we have the hekesh between the chitzin and the pnimi? The hekesh that we discussed before, sir chatas echad milavad chatas ekiporim. You don't need it. Yeah. If they're talking about different scenarios, the pnimi we said definitely involved that there was yediyah at the beginning and not at the end. If we're saying now that the one of Yom Kippur is dealing with a case where there was no yediyah at the beginning and at the end, then there's no similarity between them. The answer is ma'pnimi ein machaper b'shar averus afchitin ein machaper b'shar averus. Yes, but Rabbi Shmuel would say the similarity is just as far as what kind of avera they're machaper for. The same way as the pnimi is not taking care of any other avera other than tumas nefesh v'kachav, which we established before either based on Rabbi Yehuda's limud from mitumos, and then we narrowed it down that mitumos had to mean tumas nefesh v'kachav, or Rabbi Shimon's limud that we said ala kodesh mitumos, that implies tumas that involve a kodesh. Either way, so we know that the pnimi one only takes care of tumas nefesh v'kachav. The same way, Rabbi Shmuel would say, the hekesh between that and the chitzen is that the chitzen also is not taking care of any other type of avera, only tumas nefesh v'kachav, but not a similar scenario because the scenario for one involves yediyah and the scenario for the other one does not involve yediyah.
So according to Rabbi Shmuel, it takes care of...
So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we would say, no. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, we would say as follows. if you had your D at the beginning, if you had your D at the end, doesn't matter whether you had your D at the beginning or not. So he collapses those two into one case.
Right.
Either way, you have to bring your own carbon. Maybe you could say, fine, the Surah and after the Pnim is toilet for you until you find out, whatever, but when you find out, you're going to bring your carbon. If there was no Yediyah at the beginning and no Yediyah at the end, then the Surah and after the Chutz will take care of you. And so will the Seer out of Golem, and so will the Seer out of Shkodesh. He holds like a mayor that all of those are on the same level.
Anyone could
any one of them, meaning, as we said in the Mishnah, the point is, the next one that comes up, you did the if it happened after Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, for example, then the next one coming up is the Surah and after the Chutz, that will take care of you. You did it after Yom Kippur, before Sukkot. The one they bring the first day of Sukkot will help you. The second day, third day, etc. You do it after Shemini Atzeres, the one for Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan will help you, and so on. Then he said in the Mishnah, Al she'en b'yidiyah b'tchilu v'loy b'tzorish. Then he said in the Mishnah, for the case where there's no yidiyah at the beginning and no yidiyah at the end, severe is the golden material rush of the Dosh Machatrim, give it a order. So we said that the Buddha
says, for that you have the Seirim that are brought on the Yom Tovim and the ones that are brought on Rosh Chodesh. And then we said that's for the case where there's no Yediyah at the beginning and no Yediyah at the end.
Right.
Rabbi Yehuda had said the ones for Rosh Chodesh and the ones for Yom Tovim are Mechafer for that. And then we had several different opinions in the Mishnah whether there are distinctions among those. We had Rabbi Shimon saying only the ones for Regolim, not the ones for Rosh Chodesh. The ones for Rosh Chodesh are for something else. We had Rav Meir saying they're all on the same level as we just said. We had Rav Shimon ben Yehuda distinguishing among the three different types of Seirim that each one is Mechafer for an extra thing that the previous one didn't. So first we're going to deal with Rav Yehuda. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda the Amora says in the name of Shmuel, my time is Rav Yehuda. What's Rav Yehuda the Tana's reason? Where does he get that the ones of Regolim and the ones of Rosh Chodesh are accomplishing the same thing? Or at least, where is he getting that the one of Rosh Chodesh, unlike Rav Shimon in the Mishnah, who said that the one of Rosh Chodesh takes care of a different problem, Tahor Sha'achos HaTameh, where is Rabbi Yehuda get that the one of Rosh Chodesh takes care of the case that we're dealing with there's no Yediyah at the beginning and none at the end? He says, Omakra, because the Pasuk says, of Seir Izim Echad V'chatas La Hashem, the Pasuk says you bring one goat as a chatas to Hashem, implying Chet She'en Makriba El Hashem. Yehei Sur is a Mechaper, implying, what is the Sur Mechaper for? A type of Chet where only Hashem knows of it. Namely, where there was no Yediyah at the beginning and none at the end. Chet Shein Makriba El Hashem. A kind of Chet that only Hashem knows because the person himself didn't know at the beginning there was anything wrong, and no Yediyah at the end. That Yehei Sur is a Mechaper, that is the case where the Sur is Mechaper.
That's according to the view.
Yeah. The question is, behind the boy, lechidur shlokish. Don't we need the word lashem? Don't we need the word lashem for what shlokish teaches? The amar shlokish, manishtanis sor shorachodesh shenema by lashem. Why is the sor of shorachodesh different from all the other ones that it says on it lashem? All kavanas are brought to Hashem. Why does it say specifically by that one lashem? That's the question of Rishlokish, and the answer is, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sor Zeh, Yehei Kapara, Al Shemi Achsi Yaseh Yereach. This Sor should be a Kapara that I made the moon smaller. We know the famous story, the Gemara tells us in Cholin, the moon complained that you can't have two kings on an equal level, so Hashem tells the moon, fine, make yourself smaller. So the moon feels bad about it, and Hashem refuses it, you'll have stars with you, the Jewish people are named after you, etc., and finally Hashem says, fine, I'll bring a Kapara, Al Shemi Achsi Yaseh Yereach. What it means, what does it mean that we bring a kapara for Hashem because he made the moon smaller? There's many, many, many different, everybody has their own way of looking at it. Marsha talks about that it means it's representing the fact that the Jewish people who are compared to the moon don't have much memshala in this world. So therefore, as Hashem says, like there needs to be a kapara for that fact that I made the Jewish people be weak and less powerful in the world. So Hashem says, sometimes you'll be like, so the Marsha talks about it in Cholin. Marsha talks about it in Cholin. So sometimes you have Hashem says you Jewish people will be strong like the moon when it's waxing, like the moon when it's growing. You'll have power and whatever, but for large parts of time that you don't, that you're subjugated to Esav and whatever. There needs to be a kapara that Hashem had to make the world that way. So there's a lot of other explanations, but I'll tell you in Chassidus it talks about the idea.
We shouldn't have to bring the kapara if we're made weaker.
Okay, so then I'll tell you that we're bringing the kapara, so to speak, on behalf of Hashem. So in the Chassidus, it talks about the idea that Hashem is saying, I made the world, why did the moon complain in the first place? What induced it to complain? Is because we know that the Eibishter made the world with there's mashpiyim and there's makablim. So the moon felt itself to be a makabel. In that case, then you can't have it. So you can't have too much beam over there. So Hashem says the very fact that you're complaining about it shows that you're the natural makabel over here. You're not destined to be the mashpia. Therefore, make yourself smaller, and you are going to be packed on makabel from the sun.
When
Mashiach comes, the moon is going to be full again, but then the sun is going to be brighter. But yeah, the moon is not going to have to be makabel from the sun anymore. So therefore, so the moon complains over there just because I said a right thing, not to diminish myself. Why should I have to be the makabel? And it goes back and forth over there discussing that, yes, the fact is the world had to be created in such a way. They're all going to be mashpiim. They're all going to be makabelim. You're going to have to play the makabel role. But Havio like kapara, but Hashem says, bring a kapara for me that I have to create the world in such a way that the makabelim feel bad about it, basically. Okay. In a way, and actually, some of the Rishonim, I think the Ritva says that from here we learn a matter of derech eretz. Even for example, a master to punish his servant, al derech makir, Hashem punished the moon. Nevertheless, afterwards you need to make him feel better. You need to feel bad about it, and you need to try to make him feel better. Al derech, like Hashem says over here, kaviyachol, I feel bad about it. I need a kapara. Okay. So the question is anyway, the last Shem comes to teach us that. So how do we have it available to teach us that it means a chet that only Hashem knows about? The answer is, came lemakra al Hashem. Yes, but if it only meant Rish Lakish's thing, then it would say that it's a kapara, that it's a chafas al Hashem. My la Hashem, what does it mean that it says la Hashem? To Hashem, l'chadamara. That must be what Rabbi Huda said, that it means that something that only Hashem knows about. Okay, the question is, fine. Yeah, maybe it means only that. How do we know it means what Rish Lakish is saying, kapara alai? The answer is, okay, nemakra chafas Hashem. Yes, but then it would say chafas Hashem. My la Hashem shamat mine tauti. From that, the fact that it says la, it could have said al Hashem, which would mean only that it's a part of for Hashem, for diminishing the moon. It could have said Hashem, and then it would mean only that it means the Aveda that only Hashem knows about. La Hashem means both. On the one hand, it's an Aveda that's known only to Hashem. On the other hand, it's a part of on behalf of Hashem. So therefore, we're able to learn both from the same word. Rish Lakish's interpretation, as well as Shmuel's explanation of what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Okay. And then we'll deal tomorrow with how we know that it's only for Tumas Mitzvah Shvatcha. What about there are other? No, but how do we know the third or Shoydish? We never dealt with that before. How do we know? If we say it's Averis that only Hashem knows of, there can be many Averis Hashem only Hashem knows of. Yeah.